This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back here into Sports Talk, talking a little college baseball, specifically the SEC, and breaking it all down with us, D1Baseball.com's SEC writer, Mark Etheridge. How was your weekend, Mark? How you doing, man?
Doing great. You know, we've got conference play starting. I got to tell you guys, I'm doing a trip coming up, and I'm going to do 10 games in 10 days and 10 venues, and I am so stoked about this. Right at the start of a conference play, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to the weekend. The LSU Tigers squaring off against the Missouri Tigers. We'll get into that soon. But when you look at this LSU squad, really have been dominating lately. Obviously, the step up in competition we're looking forward to. But I think what really stands out when you look at these Tigers is definitely the pitching staff that's come together for Jay Johnson's squad. And just for you, what really you look at these arms, just everybody really contributing at such a high level now. It's really amazing on what Jay Johnson's been able to build here.
Yeah, it is. And we wondered how this was going to look, right? With you have all this talent, all these great potential stars, and they still got to prove it, right? They still got to come in. And who's going to fill what role? And who's going to be a weekend starter? Who's going to pitch on midweek? Who's going to be, you know, the end of the game guys? And it's, I think it's starting to settle out a little bit. I think the question for me is what will William Schmidt and what will his role end up being? You know, he's been more of a midweek starter, but I think, you know, he could be very valuable on the weekend in conference play. And then you got Cade Anderson, who's been really great, you know, in the Friday spot. Anthony Hyenson, what, he had 15 strikeouts Saturday, just really pitching well. And Chase George just continues to get better, right? He continues to compete and hone his craft. Yeah, he's just a guy that needs to pitch. And I feel like that, you add in Cason Evans, who's established himself as really the closer at this point, a true freshman, come in with just, you know, nerves of steel. He's been able to be that lockdown guy, and we really didn't know who that would be, especially with Gavin Guidry. He still hadn't pitched yet with injury. So it's a pitching staff with a lot of options, and we're starting to get an idea about who's going to fill what role, and that's really been the question, you know, up until this point.
Mark, we interviewed an LSU beat reporter about the team a couple hours back, and, you know, the players that popped up, we asked about six different players. We asked about William Schmidt, Zach Cowan, Cason Evans, Derek Curiel, Daniel Dickinson, Anthony Hyenson. Now, there's a connection with all those players, and that this is all their first year at LSU, whether it be freshmen or the transfers. And I think the story early on, Mark, I think you'd agree with me, is that LSU's contributions from these freshman players has been unbelievable. You mentioned Cason Evans, who's really developing into that kind of bullpen ace, like the closer for this team as a freshman, which is super impressive. Jay Johnson has all the trust in the world in him early on. William Schmidt, You know, I'll be interested to see what kind of role he has tomorrow against Xavier. Jay said that he was going to be pitching, and then he'll kind of get set up for conference play. I imagine he'll be a bullpen piece for this weekend against Mizzou as well. I'm not exactly sure if he's going to be starting against Xavier. But then also Derek Curiel, who's been unbelievable in non-conference play. It's like he's a veteran. And I know there's been all the kind of, I guess, comparisons to, you know, Dylan Cruz, but he's kind of earned them early on, Mark.
Yeah, with Curiel, I mean, the thing that strikes me is how patient he is at the plate. I know he leads the team in walks. I think he's got like 21, if I remember that correctly. I mean, freshmen just don't do that. I mean, a lot of times they come in and you're having to really hang them or bring them, rein them back in because they just want to hit everything. And I feel like, you know, he's only going to get better the more experience he gets. To go with your theme here of new players, I mean, Daniel Dickinson is a guy who really didn't have a great fall, but boy, has he come on. I mean, he's been a really key contributor. He's one of these guys that you really like. And, you know, another new player positionally, Chris Stanfield, just gives you, you know, he's hitting over 300. He's been able to kind of be that base running threat or certainly getting on base a lot to help that process. And then on the mound, you know, we talked about Schmidt, we talked about Evans. Ianson was really good. I think, you know, the other guy, I really like Connor Ware. You know, and I know he had a kind of a rough outing in his last appearance, but he's a guy that I think he could be a big leaguer. He's got that kind of stuff, and I feel like he's, you know, people just don't see the ball out of his hand, and he's going to have a key role, whether that's as a midweek starter or you work him in, you know, as in whatever role, you know, that Jay feels best on the weekend. He's going to be a guy that contributes down the stretch.
Looking at this matchup this weekend coming against Missouri, what has happened to those other Tigers, man? 8-8 right now in the year and bottom of the SEC standings.
Yeah. I mean, there are 15 teams in the conference that that look pretty good, and then there's Mizzou.
Right.
And it's kind of one of these deals where Kerrick Jackson's in his second year, and he's gone about to build a program to bring in more speed, more aggressiveness, trying to build more through JC transfers and freshmen as opposed to they've got a few D1 transfers, but not as many as some other teams. And, you know, it's just going to take some time. And right now they're not playing very well, honestly. They split a 4-game set with Binghamton this weekend. They've lost. They got run rule by Alabama State. But then they've also they won a game over Connecticut, who's a pretty solid program. So at their best, they can be scary. They just hadn't been at their best enough this year. And I feel like, you know, a team like LSU, there's just such a talent differential between LSU and Missouri. If LSU plays their game and doesn't gift wrap the game with errors and walks and, you know, base running mistakes and all that kind of jazz, I feel like LSU has a great opportunity to grab bank 3 wins, you know, heading into this SEC season. That could be, you know, especially for teams that don't play Missouri, that could be really valuable.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Yeah, especially starting at home as well against Mizzou. I don't think Tiger fans could have asked for a better start to SEC play. I mean, Mizzou is a step down from a lot of those teams. As you mentioned, Mark, 15 of the 16.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to also get your thoughts. You know, Steve brought up the pitching staff that LSU's had on full display. But also, I mean, the top of this LSU lineup has just been producing at such an elite level. We talked about Curiel, also Jared Jones. We know what he can do. Daniel Dickinson, Josh Pearson had a great weekend, had his first grand slam on Sunday against North Alabama. But then also Steven Milam, who's kind of slid into that five spot. It just feels like the top half of LSU's lineup has really been solidified, and Jay really likes what he's seen so far.
You know, Jared Jones is obviously a high-profile guy that we've all been watching, and he's hit six home runs already, driven in 26 runs. I just pulled up the stats here. He's got 15 walks against 8 strikeouts, and if that continues, he's going to have a monster year because pitch selection has always been kind of the knock on him. And plate discipline, and if he continues to be selective at the plate and get his pitch to hit, he doesn't have to hit it hard, guys. He's got so much thump in that bat, he can miss hit it and drive it into the outfield for hits. So I feel like he's one of these players, and there are a few in the conference that have a chance to be an All America, have a chance to carry a team. And he's well on his way to doing that, especially, with Curiel hitting in front of him. I mean, they've got him 1-2. I mean, he's going to be hitting the men on base quite a bit, and that's going to keep that, first base is occupied. You're not going to be able to walk him. I'm really excited about what Jared's doing. And then you mentioned Milam is having a big year. He's hitting nearly 400. He's got four home runs, driving in nearly 20 runs. He's got a few walks. I mean, he's a guy who I feel like is poised for a breakout year. And what about Josh Pearson? I don't really understand, how things have gone with him, because it's like one day he gets four hits and then maybe he goes a couple more days and doesn't have a big game, and then he comes up in another clutch situation and he delivers again. And it's just, he's such a, like a security blanket for this lineup and for Jay, that Jay wants him up in those critical situations. He's going to continue to play him because he keeps coming through. And that's a really cool thing to see, a guy who honestly has kind of been recruited over. I mean, they brought in some guys to, quote, take his place, and he just keeps producing and is able to keep finding his way into the lineup.
Yeah, Jay has talked about how he's got to get him in the outfield. I mean, he's one of the best defensive outfielders he's had, but he's been playing DH because they have so many outfielders that they're trying to get playing time. So it's a really funny situation with Josh. And to your point about Jones, four homers just this past week in those five games, he's starting to heat up entering conference play, so that's really exciting. My last one for you, though, Mark, I wanted to ask if you've seen anything from Xavier. I know they've played a couple of games against the SEC already. They played Tennessee, mm-hmm. and then they had that weekend series against Vanderbilt, and kind of what LSU fans can expect from tomorrow night's game.
Yeah, they are an older team. They are they've got some talent. They were really good in a four-game series at Stanford. And if you watch the scores this weekend, Stanford took 2 out of 3 in the first ACC series at North Carolina, who was our number 4 team in the country before that series. So Stanford can play, and Xavier split that series, so split the four-game set. So I don't know that you're going to see those pitchers, but they're weekend guys, but they've certainly positionally got some people who can give you some trouble, especially, like I mentioned earlier, if you give them some extra outs. I think that's the formula. You've got to make them earn it, because, LSU's got better players. So if LSU can honestly can throw strikes, can limit the free base runners, LSU should be fine.
Definitely looking forward to some SEC play this weekend. A lot of spicy matchups. None bigger, I think, than Tennessee versus Florida. Just what's your early perception on that one and what we can expect in that game?
Love it. That's the first game on my journey. I'm going to Knoxville on Friday night. We'll see Liam Doyle, who's Tennessee's ace, who was part of a no-hitter on Friday, face Liam Peterson, who's Florida's ace. And honestly, guys, they may be the two top right-handed pitchers in the country, and they're going to lock horns on Friday night. It's going to be amazing. And the rest of that series should be fun, too. Florida's kind of fighting some injuries right now, and Tennessee being at home, they're certainly the favorite. But that's going to be an incredible series. And I feel like, you know, it's one of those, you know, Tennessee has – they've had maybe one weekend where they challenged themselves – and they're going to get some guys who kind of look like their guys this weekend. And that's going to be a really fun thing to see. And that's going to happen across the country. Really across the conference, I should say. Because let's face it, most of the SEC teams have not played great non-conference schedules. Maybe Vanderbilt's the exception, but nobody else really has. And that all changes because that competition's going to step up in all eight matchups this weekend.
Love hearing from you, Mr. Etheridge. Thank you for the time today. Be talking to soon.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com, SEC writer, getting us ready for big conference play weekend. It's finally here. LSU, like you did mention there, Charlie, got that game against Xavier tomorrow. And then, man, oh, man, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's SEC play, but they're easing on into it with Mizzou in town.
It's incredible, Steve. 12 of the top 25 teams on D1 Baseball's latest poll, SEC teams. And so, you know, Missouri, like we mentioned, they're 8-8. They're kind of at the bottom of the conference. It's a good one for LSU to kind of ease their way in.
Yeah.
Because then later on in the season, when you're playing Tennessee and when you're playing Arkansas and when you're playing Texas A&M, the competition will skyrocket. But for now, just get off to a strong start. They're on an 11-game winning streak. If they pick up this win against Xavier tomorrow night, you're still rolling into the opening weekend of conference play feeling really good about yourselves.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.